Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. Well, I'm excited this morning to continue in the book of Nehemiah. I'm not sure if you've caught on how much I'm excited about what God is doing and saying through this word that he recorded for us so that in this time and season that we're living, that we could use the word to triumph. I'm so overexcited. So the last two weeks we paused for the couples for Valentine weekend. We paused for Family Day just to honor both systems because we want to see the family unit strengthened and we want to see couples strengthened. We had an incredible time of fellowship with our couples. And by the way, singles, I don't want anyone ever to feel left out. So that's why I'm putting on singles and single parenting, which is on the weekend in March when it's a National Single Parent Day. And don't you be all fluffy and stuffy, but I don't want people to know I'm saying you're single. Be happy in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm happy. Come get some of my joy if you have none in Jesus' name. Praise God. So today, Nehemiah chapter 7. This is one of those, you wonder, what would Pastor preach from Nehemiah chapter 7? It's just filled with names and numbers. So my message today is, numbers matter. Numbers matter. See, the world does everything by counting the numbers. So why shouldn't we in the church be concerned about numbers also? The world is very consumed with numbers. Almost everything is quantified by a numeric count. Canadian census, so that the government can help structure the nation, the provinces, the regions, the cities. This is how they know what is missing, what needs to be done to accommodate the people's needs, be it schools or hospitals. Numbers matter to the government. Numbers matter in a social setting, in stadiums, for sports games. This is how they know how much interest is in a game as well as how much they'll pay the players, because the bigger the drawing crowd, the bigger the payout to those players who will draw the crowd. Then there's singers and musicians. Numbers matter. They've got to pull it in so that they can have the highest ticket costs. And the more they're going to have in numbers, the higher the ticket costs will go, which is why some people mortgage their education for the last one that came to Toronto. Numbers matter even in protests and parades. This is how the government knows the interests of the people in a topic and how much attention they should pay to the causes that are being protested. Numbers matter. So I've got to ask you, well, I did have one more here. Maybe I'll throw it out. It's a pun. Here's a little pun. Numbers matter. If you're Donald Trump, well, biggest crowd ever. Numbers matter. So folks, why should numbers not matter to the kingdom of God? Why should we think that it's okay, just a few of us and no more? I'm happy with myself and my seat. Numbers matter because at the end of time, the Lord wants all mankind to be saved, which means that I should be reaching everyone and bringing them in just as everything else in life brings them into their sphere. Does my numbers matter? Numbers matter. See, the Lord records numbers for the sake of impact. He records it to serve as a reminder of what happened in the past. He records it to demonstrate the miracle factor of what God is doing. And he records it to serve as a future warning that we would always be wise, that God is watching and God is building his kingdom. So yes, folks, God keeps counts. The Bible records numerous counts about genealogies and tribes and family descendants, land distribution, even enemy armies, and definitely the wins in battles and even the losses in battles. God counts to show us his miracles. So let me give you two quick examples here. In Genesis 12, the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. And there they were about, this is when they were leaving Egypt, there were about 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. They're leaving Egypt to go through the Red Sea, and there was a count. Hello? And then when they got through the Red Sea, and when God now encountered them again after he'd shown them all his miracles, Genesis 13, he says to them, I'm giving all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I'll give you so many descendants like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. God is always watching what we do and counting with us as we see that many more come into this great relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think as Christians, we've gotten comfortable with it's just us. I'm okay if I get to heaven. Numbers matter. That was so weak. In-house, could you just give me a shout out? Because I lost them in here. Would someone in-house give me a shout out? Numbers matter because many and all must come into the kingdom of God. The only time numbers do not matter is when the count is being done out of sheer pride or arrogance. We see this in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1 to 3. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab, the commander of the army, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so that I may know how many there were. See, numbers throughout the book of Numbers, which is one of the books of the Bible, we see the count of God's people, Israel, which was always used to demonstrate the multitudes of miracles which God used a few feeble people to do. In fact, if you look back in Numbers chapter 7, pardon me, in my head, Judges chapter 7, Gideon had an army of 32,000 men, and God said to him, looks good, but they're fearful. I would rather you have just 300 full of faith than 32,000 full of fear. That is why we're going to pray tonight, because our nation is filled with fear, but God rather a church that is full of faith. Then you get to Joshua chapter 7. Leaders like Joshua counted the armies that were against him. He was now counting the enemy. And he was counting the enemy kings that they defeated to demonstrate that God will take care of that which concerns us, even when it looks insurmountable. That's why that song was so powerful. In Joshua 7, Joshua lists 31 nations that God used Israel, a small motley crew of wilderness wanderers, to defeat. 31 major kings. These were nations with powerful kings, with armies and chariots. There were some that they had like 600 iron chariots, and God's like, 600 iron chariots? One God. If we are going to be a people of faith, everyone's already trembling. Nuclear. Can I tell you? Many nuclear arms are being raised up. One God. Are you with me online? There's a mighty king who's won the victories for Israel all throughout. And they continued to trust him. And the more they trust him, the more he fought for them. The more he fought for them, the more the kings and the armies of the world crumbled. So numbers matter when we join our hearts together, either in prayer or in faith. We come collectively, we make a massive army of faith, and we watch powers and principalities broken because God is with us. And sometimes numbers do not matter. The only time, as I said, when numbers were discouraged, I'm going to tell you, there are churches and peoples, just like stadiums and everything, that boast their count. And their count is not focused on them having people who are growing faith, but having people who are growing them in pride. Did you hear me? That was a slider. I hope you got it. I can throw those little undercurve balls, you know. See, rather than focusing on God and being faithful to God, they begin to feel they've accomplished something themselves, and they don't take for granted that God is giving them a privilege to lead many who will lead many. It's not about the individual. It's about God leading many to lead many so that God's name be glorified, because God's always looking upon those who want to use the numbers to pontificate and to elaborate and to lift up themselves rather than lift up the glory of God. Numbers matter when we lift up his name, not when we lift up ours. Here's an example. 2 Samuel 24, verse 9 to 11. Joab reported the number of fighting men to the king in Israel. There were 800,000 able-bodied men who could handle a sword. And Judah, there was 500,000. Let me just back up. Remember when they came out of Egypt, there were only 600,000. Now they have 800,000 able-bodied fighting men, and they have 500,000 able-bodied who could handle a sword. And so David now is counting, because he's gone from where he had a motley crew. In fact, when he went out first, it was only 600 fighting men. Now you're hearing thousands and thousands. He says, go count them, as I read earlier. And here's what happened now when he realized what he did. David was conscience-stricken after he had counted the fighting men, and he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. So I keep saying numbers matter, numbers don't matter. Numbers matter when we're building up the kingdom of God if it's our focus. Numbers do not matter when we're building up ourselves, because God counts differently. So the text today comes from Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 5 to 73. Nehemiah chapter 7. Now here's the reason I'm not reading it all for you. I'm going to read a few of them. So God gave me the idea to call together all the nobles of Israel along with ordinary citizens for registration. I found a genealogical record of those who first returned to Judah. Here's the list. And he began to list them. I'm just going to give you an example because it's 4 pages long. The family of Parosh, 2,172. Family of Seth, 372. Family of Ara, 652. Family of Pahath, 2,818. Family of Elam, 1,254. Family of Zatu, 845. Family of Zakkai, 760. Family of Bebiah, 628. And it goes on. If I skip a page, the family of West Nebo, 52. The family of Atter, 98. The family of Bijvai, 2,067. And it goes on, and it listed every tribe by their number, because now they were reestablishing the city, and numbers mattered in now how they would cause people to see how God had taken them from the rubble and made them back to a great nation. I feel something happening today. Israel had very small family tribes, but very large family tribes. And all their victories were won whenever they remembered that their count was as unto God, because he was the one that was giving them miracles. And when in my last message in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 4, I read this. This is where it started, Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. At that time, the city was large and spacious, but the population was small, and none of the houses had been rebuilt. In Nehemiah 7, it's telling you they were such a motley crew that, remembered, did that great victory that God won them in rebuilding the walls and the gates and restructuring and fighting off the enemy. And so they were able to rebuild Jerusalem's structure and its foundation and its protection. As we prepare to rebuild God's house spiritually, remember that numbers matter, because we're going to go in a day where if we don't stick together in faith, we will fall apart together. Did anybody hear me? This is not going to be a season for the faint-hearted. It's going to be a season for us to stand, not in fear, but in faith. And we're going to do it together, because here they were. Remember, as we read through the book of Nehemiah, there was a time when they were like, we can't do this. And Nehemiah's like, let's just stay focused. Folks, we're going to stay focused in this season, and we're going to grow in faith. And you're like, I've never been a strong Christian. Get strong now, because you're going to rise up. Who are you? You're going to be a child of God. God that remembers God is the one who fights our battle. We don't put our hands into the hands of humans. Tonight, as I do the call to prayer, and those of you that are online, please get in on it, because this is a serious time. I've heard everything happening, but we need to remember it's the call to prayer that matters. So here we are. Numbers matter. Numbers matter as we come out together. Do you know one of the things that's an indictment against Christians is that no matter what's going on secularly, we go and we fill it up so they can count. But whatever is going on spiritually, we stay away with an excuse. Oh, I got to work early in the morning. Oh, yeah? Is that why you stayed up and watched TV till 12? Oh, the kids got to go to bed. Oh, really? Well, I grew up where we had Sunday service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the kids were there happy as a lark, and that's why many of us are in ministry. How many grew up going to church every Sunday night? Raise your hand. Wave those hands to us. Online, wave those hands. Did it kill you or did it build you? So now we've put it away because, but if they've got to go to a tournament in Timbuktu, we drive them and drive through the night to get them home. But if they got to, we can't bring them to church twice, Pastor, because it will shatter them. We've already shattered them by keeping them away from the house of the Lord. Teach them how to stand and how to pray and how to build themselves in the name of the Lord. Nehemiah 7. Nehemiah 7 is an interesting passage. Annie, I don't know if you could pull up a bit of it there for me before we get going. I'm throwing you on the spot. But Nehemiah 7, he's listing here the Jewish exiles of the province who returned from their captivity, who came in to rebuild a city, to rebuild a nation, to rebuild a kingdom from Geba, from Michmash, from Bethel, from Ai, from Nephothi, from places I can't pronounce, from Haran, from Jericho, from West Elam, from Haran, from Pashur, from Kadmiel, from everywhere that they had been scattered. They came back and said, listen, we've been scattered by the enemy, but we're coming back together in the name of the Lord. Can I speak to you today? We've been scattered by the enemy, but it's time for us to come together. And I send this message out to every church. It's time for every church to have a call to prayer, so that we're saturating our nation with prayer, so that politicians know people are praying. We watch every news, we check our phones, we get on our iWatches, we do everything, but we're not getting on our watch with the Lord to say, it's time to pray. We'll move on. Separate, listen to this now. This is where the rubber hits the road. In Nehemiah 7, as I list these four pages of counts. Oh, Annie, you wanted to do it? Okay, put it up there for me. Let me just show them so they know I'm speaking something from the Word of God. Separate counts occurred to ensure authenticity. You've got the Bible verse there? Okay, we'll keep going. I don't know how they work with me, because my mind goes like crazy, and sometimes they're trying to keep up with my mind, and I'm trying to keep up with my mind. Never, Annie, let's just keep going. Separate counts occurred. You got your Bibles. By the way, next week, bring your Bibles. Next week online, as you're listening in, grab your Bibles. Okay, we will have the scripture up there, but I just want to see if you still have a Bible. So I'm going to pull a Joel Osteen, raise your Bible high. This is my Bible. I have my Bible. I dusted off my Bible. I couldn't find my Bible, so I borrowed my children's Bible. Next week, bring those Bibles. See if it hurts. Okay? And if you don't have a Bible and you're new to faith, oh, we so love you. we have Bibles for you. So we want you to know, perhaps we miss telling you that we can offer you a Bible if you don't have one, because we do have. But we're going to just do that. That's a part of next week's message in Nehemiah. So here's the deal, folks. Separate counts occurred to ensure authenticity. Authenticity of those who were coming in to the rebuilt Jerusalem and were calling themselves Jews, meaning children of God. See, the numbers varied drastically, as some of the tribes were as low in numbers as 47 and other tribes were as high as 4,000. But the folks were all serious about the rebuilt Jerusalem. And so they, as they were coming in, the leaders now established by Nehemiah began to count them. And here's the deal, folks. Each person had to prove their authenticity to the Israelite leaders to assure them they were true servants of Jehovah God. What? Do that today and we leave the church. But why did they have to prove it? In that day, many gods existed, much like today. And Israel had prostituted themselves to all of these false gods. And Nehemiah and the leaders knew that if the people who were coming in were not committed to Jehovah, they would soon cause the blessings of God to be diminished. Take a picture of that. That's important. It's important that we shore up our commitment to God. The reason churches are weakened, and when a nation is being weakened and the church is weak, then the nation has no chance. The reason many of our nation is weakened is the church became weak. The reason the church became weak is that many came in and began to dictate what could be preached and what could not be preached, what could be said and what can't be said. You can't say anything, pastor, about LGBTQ 52. Remember when we started just LG and then LGBQ and then LGBTQ2 and then where are we now? LGBTQ 72? Do you remember? Do you remember when we started out? I remember as an evangelist preaching around the world saying, once you change anything about God's creation, it's unstoppable because you're going to have to keep on adding. If we think we're at 72, it's not over yet. We'll get to 100 because when you change God's creation, when you change God's order, when you change God's design, then humanity is always trying to use their little brain to figure out what's the next level. Somebody say amen this morning. But the church became weak at a time when the nation has become weak. But I want to appeal to every child of God across the world and online. Would you come back into the fold of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where you're worshiping from? You gotta be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to follow the word of God. So here's the first caution. Christians, don't be accepting of foolishness and accepting sins which diminishes the favor and blessings of God. I made the statement about LGBTQ 72. I made that statement. But can I talk about the other thing? There are so many little, not little, sin is sin. There's so many sins upon Christians who are like, don't be judging me. I'm not judging you. The word judges you. I don't need to judge you. The word already judges you if it's a sin. So what you need to know, get to know the word and get rid of the sin, because we're going to have to strengthen our reserves. We're going to have to strengthen ourselves. I see our nation's trying to strengthen its army. We're going to have to strengthen our spiritual army, because we can't just be taking everything for granted anymore. We now need to step up and be counted. Tell somebody, step up and be counted. Step up and be counted. Come on, tell somebody this morning. Tell somebody online. First caution, we can't be accepting foolishness and sin because it diminishes our favor. When we're calling out to God, why would he answer when we have infiltrated ourselves with every form of sin and accepted it as norm? Second caution, when God's blessing is flowing, imposters will also flow in to mess up the work of the Lord. So I'm going to talk to this church. Online, many churches. Let me talk to this one right now. Spot them early and get them out of here. Come on, somebody. Spot imposters early. You know what? I want every man to be saved. But the Bible cautions us because the devil will send imposters. And you know who imposters mess up? Weak-willed people who were already rebellious in spirit. What is Pastor saying today? She's off. No, I'm on. I'm on. Do you know what has destroyed every revival? Every revival has been destroyed by this third caution. People with strange, non-biblical agendas who destroy the unity and blessing and favor upon God's people. And we have to watch who we bring into the flow of what God is doing. When people are coming, when the power of God is flowing in this place, when flowing in any church, you know what happens? The devil sends a few who have some strange agenda. And then you get some weak-willed person. Oh, Pastor, you have to accept them and acknowledge them. No. I want every unsaved person to come. Come as you are. Come in your grubs. Come in your jeans. Come in your tattoo. Come any way you can. Just come. But I want every religious person, get out of here. Oh, come on, somebody. Because God, you know why I can say it? Because Jesus cast out every religious spirit. Because a religious spirit messes up those who want Christ. Because they can identify the religious spirit earlier than most Christians. Folks, we're going to get serious here. Because our nation's counting on us. Okay, forgive us overseas. We have elections coming from every side. And I say it over and over in this pulpit. It doesn't matter who we elect. What matters is the church has to grow stronger now so people know where to go. Come and meet a Savior who will help you. Come and meet a God who will guide you. Come and meet the Lord who will assist you, who will speak to you, who will heal you, who will provide for you, who will protect you. Come. So I want you to remember, we're going to stay away from the religious troublemakers who are steeped in religiosity because they will cause distraction and dissension. Can you please hear me today? I want unsaved people. I want people on their way to meet the Savior to come. I want people who don't know God to come. I want your family members to come. I want your co-workers to come. I want the guys off the street. I want anybody and everybody to come. But I don't want the devil's religious spirit to ever come. Because we have no time right now to lose ground. None. So stay focused. Stay focused. Nehemiah chapter 7. They had to prove their authenticity. What is God asking of you? Just know who you are in Christ in God. He's not asking you to be a preacher. He's not asking you to right away be able to teach the Bible. He's saying just know who you are. Know who you are in Christ in God. Young people, their faith is going to be tested. Know who you are. Know the love of God. Know the strength of God in you. Know that you grew up and you heard the word and it's in you and it will not leave you because his word is deep inside your spirit. Know who you are. There's coming a time when every person will have to prove their faith in God. Going to have to prove that you are a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the signs of the time? What I don't understand is growing up as a pastor's kid, hearing these messages, growing up as a teenager that was so vigilant in the things of God, as a young adult that led my church and young adult ministries in Evangel Pentecostal Montreal, growing up as one who was a worker in business and God called me out of it and I went to Bible college, growing up and being on the road for all of these years, I have been preaching that the signs of the times are coming, but I never expected in 2025 to see them so rapid. Did you? It's faster than we can think. So we're going to have to recognize if we are a follower, a true follower of Christ. Are you a true follower of Christ? Then recognize who you are, because you have got to get in the count. So my question today is, are you in the count? Are you in the count? Nehemiah 7, not everyone was in the count. And this is the passage I will read, Nehemiah 7, verse 61. I will read this part for you. Another group returned at this time from the towns of Telmela. Good. They dropped all the other names. I looked up to see if they put all those names because I can't pronounce the rest of them. So let's just move on in time. It was Telmela and a whole bunch of other names that when you can pronounce it, you read it out loud. However, they could not prove that they or their families were descendants of Israel. Another group returned when the power of God was moving upon Israel. They didn't come when they were building. They didn't come when the gates were burned. They didn't come when everyone had put their hands to the plow. They came when everything was built. And they came, but they could not prove that they were of their families or descendants of Israel. And then it continues on. They came. Verse 64. They searched for their names in the genealogical records, but they were not found. What does it say? Read it out loud for me online. They were disqualified. You know what the Israel leaders said? Okay, you can serve and stay over there, but you're not coming in as part of what God is doing. You're not going to lead with us because you can't prove that you are a part of the kingdom of God. Can I tell you something? The big message here is God is still counting today. What am I telling you? Don't be disqualified. Don't be disqualified. There are many sitting in here and you're like, oh, Pastor, that's a hard message for me. Would you turn to someone intentionally? Sometimes I ask the church to turn and they go, Would you turn intentionally? Look at someone, take 10 seconds before you say it, and then say, don't be disqualified. Would you do that online? Only those who were living lives that proved that they were part of the Jewish race were in the count. Regardless of what position they held or status they had, it didn't matter. And there are many people who've been playing church, but there's coming a time when that's a dangerous game. It's too costly a game because God is on the move. So I got to ask you, are you certain your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ, not just with the church or with friendships in the church? Are you sure your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when you are sure, you make sure you're in the count. You're counted in service, and then you're going to do what it takes. Some invested, and I'm going to skip right down to three, the one that says leaders, priests, Levites, servants. Every family became a part of the work of rebuilding God's kingdom. Levites, leaders, the priests, the Levites, the servants, and every family. I want every family to become a part of what God is doing. I want people's heart to rise and so be thankful to God for what He's going to do. Numbers matter. And I want us to start recognizing that God is on the move. While the enemy is sowing destruction and fear. Fear is not of God. Fear is of the enemy. And so the more he sows it. How many people are so tired you can't even watch the news? I want you to know. God is not in shock. This is a setup. Because his word has to be fulfilled. But in the time when his word is being fulfilled before our very eyes. It's not a time to play games. It's a time to step up. Speed up. I was going to say speed up, step up, as put them together. Sped up. Folks, I don't know. I know there are greater preachers than me. I'm very conscious of who I am. But I'm preaching you a great message today. Time's at hand. Are you in the count? Are you making sure your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ and not just a religious affiliation with the church or with the people of the church? There are people I know who they'll leave church because a friend left church. I'm like, ooh, that was your Jesus. Or they leave because somebody looked at them wrong. Ooh, if they looked at you wrong, you looked at them wrong. Because if you look at me wrong and I give you one of my cherry bright smile, my mama paid for these when I was young, you're going to break down. They didn't say hello to me. Well, if I say hello to you, you don't say hello to me, you got a problem. I don't. So let's just bless God and move on. What matters is we put aside pettiness. Make sure we're in the count. Because the nation, our nation, is counting on us, even though they haven't declared it yet. Did you hear me? Because they haven't declared it yet. I'm not going to get prepared after. I'm going to be prepared now. Because there's coming a time. If things continue in the trajectory that it's on, people are going to go mad. We won't have enough hospitals. We won't have enough psych wards. But we shouldn't need them because we got a Savior. Glory to God. Let's believe for every family to be counted, every person to be in the count, and let's prepare to do our part at every level. First of all, if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and confessed Him as Lord, this is your day to do it. Because that's what all it takes. I've been going to church all my life, Pastor. I come every Sunday and I love the church and I love your preaching. Yes, but show your love to God by saying, Jesus, take hold of my life. Make me your very own. So at the end of this service, we're going to have prayer leaders here. You need to come down to this altar and tell them, I want to make an assurance of faith. I want to have an assurance of faith today because I'm in the count. And if I'm not in the count, I'm putting myself in the count. I could actually use the same example of the giving. See how many names, pages and names we had of people who gave, but they hadn't given us their address? So they're partially in the count, but not fully in the count. Because we can't get them what they need to go to the next level. It's the same with your spiritual life. You've been doing everything right. But if you have not confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and acknowledge Him as your Lord and your God and your guide, if you do not declare, Jesus, take hold of my life and make me your very own, if you do not pray in earnest in your heart and say, God, I want to be your child forever and have you guide me, keep me, and strengthen me, if you've not done that, you can do that today. Online, you can do it. In-house, you can do it wherever you are. At whatever time you listen to this message, you can do it right then and right there. Because the minute you speak those words, heaven opens and God says, welcome, my child. And with that, you're in the count. Don't be disqualified. That's the message today, a part of the message today. So here's it. Numbers matter. Every person in house, I don't know if you have it for online, I don't think so. But every person online, you could just take a piece of paper and write it down. You've been given a sheet when you walked in. If you weren't given a sheet like this, would you just raise a hand and the ushers will get you some. But I'm going to ask you, every person, if you didn't get a sheet like this, yours is quarter, mine is long. It says in 2025, I'm committed in 2025 to consistently pray for. And you're going to list 10 people that you're going to pray for. We normally do this at Easter, and I ask myself, why should I wait till Easter to have this momentous occasion? Somebody could be gone tomorrow. Pastor Dennis prayed for the gentleman that we know. One of our daycare father was in that plane crash. His wife is pregnant, 8 months pregnant, and right here in our daycare at Pastor Ruby. And he texted her when he realized the fuel had come upon them and that they were trying to get out, he texted her. Can you imagine her getting that news 8 months pregnant? This is one of our own. You think, oh, it's so abstract. No, one of our very own was there. And God protected. You don't know what tomorrow holds. No one is assured of tomorrow. So we're going to pray for those who've not yet come into the kingdom. Only 10 names. You can take 10 sheets if you want. But you're going to write it down and intentionally pray. But here's the second part on the back, on the flip side of that. I have pray weekly. And I'm asking you, I am committed to seeing someone new and praying for them weekly. And this one, all I'm asking you to do, stop just praying for your pet few. Start seeing people. Start dealing with people's hearts. I drive Bailey and Wesney. And before the storm, I saw a tent there for one of the homeless men. And so I started praying, God, help him to come in his right mind and go in one of the shelters. I may never know him, but that doesn't matter. You know him, Dale? Oh, my Dale. Run up here for a minute, Dale. Dale, just run here so the camera can see you. I'll tell the story. Dale was homeless for decades. Or I don't even... Go. How long? Not. What? Dale was homeless for years, because you were a number of years. Almost 7 years, Dale was homeless. And the people of this church took him in. Now he's one of our vibrant Christians. And he was... Those online... He's one of our witnesses, and Dale was just saying to those online that he saw that tent and he went to find the guy, but now someone's got him? Or he's somewhere? He's in a shelter? He's all taken care of. Thank you, Dale. That's all I wanted. Hey. Praise God. Thanks, Dale. Dale, you may be seated, though. I can't let you preach now. Okay. What just happened? What just happened? I was praying for someone. I said in my heart, I will never know the answer. Didn't I just say that? And God just said, I got the answer already. I'm about to cry. Because as I turned on Wesley and saw him right under that of those electrical wires, I went, God, put him in his right mind. Get him out of there. And God has sent someone today to say, I did it. Would you start praying for people that you don't know? Write down, that guy in my prayer log is the guy by the electrical wire on Wesley. Would you stop having to know everything and everybody and make it your mission to pray? That's how Canada will be saved.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.